This is NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams, along with a guitar player who now lives and records in America, but still with British overtones and accents. Martin Simpson was raised in the north of England.
There was a blues package which would come through Europe called the Lippmann and Rau Folk Festival of the Blues. And when I was 15, I think, I went to see a concert in Manchester at the Free Trade Hall with Big Joe Williams, Jimmy Reed, John Lee Hooker, T-Bone Walker, and others, all on the same bill. And it was mind-boggling. And I have to say that after I saw Big Joe Williams play, I shuffled around to the dressing room. I found my way into the dressing room. And I actually talked to him before the gig, actually. I found him before the gig, but he was nervous, which was a great lesson to me. He said, "Go away, boy, I'm nervous."
When you talk with Martin Simpson, the names of the great players spill into the conversation like guitar chords. Big Joe Williams, Robert Johnson, Doc Watson, Merle Travis, the banjo player Clarence Ashley. And Martin Simpson has been following the cycles of what we call folk music, tunes from the British Isles, for example, that came to America and picked up an African influence here, and swirled back around through blues and rock and roll. What remains essential for Simpson is the story behind the song.
One of the things people say about my playing, bless them, is that I'm very lyrical. When I teach guitar, I always start by saying, well, I'm accused of being lyrical. What does lyrical mean? And lyrical means evoking the lyric. I learn my songs from very specific sources often. So, for instance, Darling Corey, I learned from the singing of my wife and musical partner, Jessica. Now, I'd heard it many times before in a performance by Pete Seeger. The instrumental part of it, I'd learned on the banjo from him. And then Jessica sang it to me unaccompanied and just chilled me. She said, you know, have you thought about what this song is actually about? This is a guy with the DTs. His girlfriend's dead, and he's talking to his girlfriend, and she keeps hanging around his bed. You know, that kind of clarity in a performance will really make a difference to the way you interpret a piece. So I learned it from Jessica, and then I started to play it. And it actually took me a very long time to get to the point where I felt that I had it, you know, performable.
The lyrics are... go away, darling Corey. Pretty women have ruined my body. Bad liquor has killed me most dead.
Mm-hmm. There's a... go away, darling Corey. Quit hanging around my bed. Yeah. What are the ones...
It's almost, of course, dig a hole, dig a hole.
Go dig a big hole in the meadow, a hole in the cold, cold ground.
Yeah.
Gonna lay darling Corey down.
So you got to get some spookiness into this song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those pieces... It's one of those pieces that also feels very, very African influenced to me. So what I did was I took what I refer to as the major seven bit of it, which is the melody is this. Now, major seven chords, you know, I'm always tickled by... People associate a major seven with that. Another martini, Noah? Why, certainly I'd love one. A swimming pool chord, you know.
Right.
And a flat seven is this guy here, which is the blues thing. So, but very often in this kind of music, you'll get those one in one section, one in the other, in the same way that you'll get flattened thirds and major thirds next to each other, or you'll have something that has a major third in the melody and is accompanied with a minor third, or vice versa. So, very confusing and very odd. But the particular passage is this. So that's all major sevenths, and I decided that I would break time on it. So it's not really, it doesn't have that whack-a-chooka banjo time at all. I've given it a sort of a slightly classical tremulando kind of backing. But it's also exactly how a kora player would play.
melody.
Just a flat 7. This is very bluesy.
It does sound African.
It sounds incredibly African to me.
Yeah, that's just surprising. The novelist Charles Frazier, in his book Cold Mountain, which is a big bestseller for a long time now, he did a lot of research in old-time music in southern Appalachia and North Carolina, and talks a lot about the eerie nature of that kind of music. It was about serious things, and about people dying, and but he could hear it in the music, and it sort of surprised him, and he wrote about it. I just wonder what makes Darling Corey, for example, if it's time now to make a sort of a scary song, a song about that has some resonance to it of things that have gone wrong or things that may go wrong. How do you do it musically? How do you ever get that into it?
Oh, how would you come up with a scary resonance?
Yeah,
there's a lot of sound in the guitar which you have to go in and look for. Like, for instance, if you play with a slide, there's all the sound on the other side of the slide. So if I play that normally, you just hear the descending note. But if I play it like that, then you hear the descending note and the ascending note. So you have all this stuff here. Which gets a little scary. Work with it, and these. These overtones that get generated, and the scream harmonics. Those scare me.
Does it ever happen when you're on stage, the guitar is right there against your chest? At a certain time, I'm always asking musicians about the magic moments of their careers, because I think it must happen from time to time, or else they wouldn't put up with the travel.
Mm-hmm.
Does it ever happen that you feel that guitar resonance up into your body and you just sort of lose?
It's an interesting question. My deepest moments of joy on stage tend to be when I'm working with other people. When you suddenly feel like you have that relationship with somebody else on stage. So I work with my wife, Jessica, a lot. So I'll play the guitar for her to sing. And sometimes just when that relationship between you and the person you're accompanying becomes seamless, when you feel like you have achieved the perfect emotional support for the song and the singer, then that is really a transcendent moment. Mm. It's a perfect moment. And then every so often you have a completely wacky experience. Years ago, playing at the Leeds Festival in England, which was one of those festivals that was so wet and so cold, you thought you were going to die before you got on stage. And when I eventually did get on stage, my feet were soaked, and the first thing that I had to do was take my shoes off because my feet were going into cramp, with the cold. And I thought, well, this is going to be a nightmare. And they started to play. And the next thing that I knew was I was watching myself play from way above the stage and going, wow, he's really good tonight. Look at that caveman go. And it was a complete out-of-the-body experience. And I was not affected in any way by anything but, just being there and performing. It was really odd.
Hmm. I must ask for the guitar players in the audience that you tell us what the guitar is.
Okay, well, the guitar is made by a friend of mine whose name is Stefan Sobel, lives in Northumberland, and is a very unique guitar builder. We live in the golden age of acoustic guitars right now.
How do you account for that?
Partly because it's rather like Olympic standard or something. People are really training and learning and pushing, and
But there must be, too, something driving the market beyond the you know, few hundred singer-songwriters.
Oh, it definitely is. You know, there are many lawyers and doctors and, you know, successful professional people who are now in their 40s and 50s who are going, okay, well, I've been a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, but I really wanted to be a guitar player. I'm going to have my dream guitar now. In fact, maybe I'll have a dozen of my dream guitars.
That's right. That's right. We've been sort of directing your performance here.
Sure.
But play something you want to play.
I just play a couple of verses of a slow air. This is a Scottish slow air called Waily Waily. And it really, I always refer to this as playing the guitar, because what I try to do is allow the guitar to develop overtones. And you know, I'm not using big chords. I'm using the instrument as a linear melodic instrument that really breathes and has its own drones.
Lovely. Thank you for coming.
What a pleasure. Thank you.
Martin Simpson, British-born, California-inspired, now a guitar player living in New Orleans. His latest recording is titled Kambara, Music in Native Tongues. You're listening to NPR's All Things Considered.